Hi, I'm Donovan Brown with another episode of Azure Friday. We're here with Josh to learn about building our first model with Azure Analysis Services. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you very much.
So tell me what you do here at Microsoft.
I'm the Senior Program Manager for Azure Analysis Services.
All right, great. So Analysis Services, can't I use things like Power BI or Excel? Why do I need Analysis Services?
Yeah, you definitely can use things like Power BI or Excel to go directly connect to, let's say, a SQL data warehouse or many other data sources.
Sure.
But there's still a need in a lot of cases to put something in between that, like Azure Analysis Services. Analysis Services does two really big things. One, it acts as a caching layer.
Okay.
When you have all your users using really easy and simple to use tools like Power BI to go and run queries against your data warehouse, they're running lots of queries and it's hitting your data warehouse. And any distributed system is going to start to run into concurrency limits and issues there. Analysis Services actually acts as a cache. And you can actually cache in memory billions of rows of data and get results back in sub-second as if you only had 1,000 rows in there.
Wow.
The other thing it really helps with is it acts as a layer that basically encapsulates all your business logic. So users can come in, business users, they don't necessarily know your databases. They don't know all the names of the tables, which tables to use, how they're joined. You can encapsulate all that logic, all your business logic, all your security logic into the model, and users can come in and just start dragging and dropping and building out reports.
Okay, so can you show me how it works?
Yeah, so we've demoed, we've done plenty of demos with Analysis Services in some of the other Azure Friday videos. So in this one, I'm going to show you actually how to go ahead and build your first model.
Perfect. So this is the model that I would present to my customers so that they could use to do their own queries against.
Yes, this is what your customers, your business users will come in and see. You're basically trying to make a model so they can actually understand the data much more easily and start building their own reports rather than coming to you every time they need a report.
Perfect.
So I'm not sure if you remember this. Back in 2015, it was a demo we did for Build. We'd upload a photo and we'd tell you, how old you were, how old you looked, apparently, how old you were, and gender. So we actually collected the web telemetry for this, and it was part of the original demo, but we never actually showed building out a data warehouse on top of this. So I've actually taken this data and piped it into a data warehouse, SQL data warehouse. And let's go ahead and actually build a model on top of it so others can go out and build their own reports on there.
Okay.
So I've already created an Azure Analysis Services server. If you haven't done this before, just click on New and under Data and Analytics and just follow the steps.
Okay.
Really simple. Once you're in here, we now have this new web designer that we're previewing. So you can actually go ahead and build all your models right here in the web without having to go to Visual Studio and download a bunch of stuff before you can get started.
Gotcha.
So clicking on Open there will bring up our new web designer. And I can come here and say Add a New Model. And it asked me from where. So we're trying to make it really simple for sources that are in Azure, just to be able to come here and just do it really quickly.
Okay.
We still support lots of other sources. You'd have to go through Visual Studio to get those right now until we catch them all up here. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new model here called, we'll call it New How Old.
Okay.
And we'll pick SQL Data Warehouse. And what this is going to do is going to give me a list of all the data warehouses that are in my subscription. I'll go and find the well-named How Old telemetry. With its How Old database. I'll put my connection information in there so Analysis Services knows how to actually go and authenticate to it.
Okay.
I'll put the right connection information in there.
I always found that's better.
Yeah. And what it's going to do is give me a list of the tables in the data warehouse.
Okay.
And LastPass is going to try to save it. So normally, a real data warehouse would have hundreds of tables or at least dozens of tables in there. So I've simplified this a little bit. But you still have things like staging tables in here. And then you have the real kind of fact and dimension tables.
Yep.
You don't want your users to see staging tables. You only want them to see what's kind of relevant for the reporting. So I'm just going to take my three dimensions here, the OS, the operating system, the browser, how the photo was submitted to the site, and our fact table called photo fact and say create.
Okay.
So what this is going to do is going to go out and actually build the model for us automatically, and it built it.
Okay.
And this model works right now. So I can take actually photo fact, and let's just take... I don't think any column, session ID. I'll drop it on our little query canvas here. And what this will do is basically count the rows that are in that table. I'll run it. And we're not taking advantage of the cache here yet. All we did was build a model. So what this is actually doing is translating my query that I just sent here into a SQL query and running it in the data warehouse.
Okay.
And you can see it came back. There's almost 600 million rows in that table.
Wow.
That's still pretty fast, still big data. And you can actually, in this kind of development environment, and even when you're just starting out building reports, you can actually get away without having to cache the data.
Okay.
It's when you get a lot of users in there, you really want to turn that on and start caching that data so you really take that load off that data warehouse.
Sure.
Also in a data warehouse, you can switch over to our modeling view. It doesn't contain information like how the tables are related. So you don't want users to have to know what keys to join on. So okay. You can actually come in here, and you can put the relationships in the model. So we have our three tables. Make a little room here. And we can say, all right, browser ID to browser ID. I'll make that an inner join when it actually goes and runs.
Okay.
We'll take OSID to OSID. And one more will be submission method. It's a little closer.
Submission method.
So close. Smaller screen than I usually use.
No, understood.
So we'll take submission method ID and drop it to here, and boom, we'll have another relationship. You can also do this in here, too, by just adding new relationships from the dialog.
Okay.
So now we have the relationships built into the model. You can imagine doing this with like hundreds of tables. This diagram is designed to kind of scale, so I don't actually have to have every table in here at once.
Okay.
But now I can come back to the query view, and I can take, let's say, face count. This is the number of the faces we detected on each photo.
Okay.
And I can slice this by our submission method, how they uploaded that photo. And as a user here, I didn't know how to join it or anything. It's in the model, so it'll actually go construct a SQL query with that join in there and bring us back the results.
Okay.
Now. Yeah, it's faster when you're not watching it.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, this still isn't using any caching at this
still
point,
Still not
right?
using cache.
This
yeah,
is
so
still
it's
going
in
cache. So how do about 600 million rows are in there?
Yep, 600 million rows now with an inner join to another dimension table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is smaller table, but still. But we got our results back.
Okay.
And, you know, we started building our model here. And you can. This is now a fully functioning model, so I could stop here. The more business logic you pack into the model, the easier it is for users to go ahead and consume it.
Okay.
So I can start to do things like, well, we have a lot of columns on here, like browser ID, submission method ID. Well, this will show you things like 1, 2, 3. User doesn't know what that means.
Correct.
You want to see upload, search, face list. I can go back to model, and we basically hide all the things the users need to see. So like primary keys of tables, don't need them.
So checking them is actually saying I don't want it?
Well, checking them is basically just selecting them right now. So
I see,
I'll
we're going to do like a batch edit on them on the right-hand side.
I'll take all the
IDs out.
Yeah, and I'll basically, anything else I don't want, I can say is hidden. True. Can't delete them from here because we need them for the relationships. But anything that the user doesn't need to see, hide it. Anything that the user doesn't need to use at all, delete it.
So this experience that you're going through right now seems more like the experience that an admin would go through, someone who's actually configuring the model.
Yep.
As an end user, what's my view of this information?
Yeah, this is basically someone building it out, one or two people building out this model so that hundreds or thousands of people can consume it.
Okay.
So that person will basically come into something like the Power BI Desktop or Excel or Tableau or any other third-party tool, and essentially, I can generate it from here. I'll say open in Power BI Desktop. And what this will do is any of the logic we put into this model, it'll open up a new Power BI Desktop report. You can also enter this by going into Power BI directly. And it'll let you connect from that path too. And when a user logs in, and when the desktop comes up, you'll essentially see.
So I see what you're saying. So what we're doing now is we're saying, I've now shaped the model the way that I wanted it to. I've hidden the information that I don't want them to see. I've kind of made all the joins that I think are going to be relevant for my customers. And now they can go into something like Power BI or Excel or Tableau and now
they
use that model.
Reap the benefits of that.
Got
so they come
it.
In here, they see your tables, the blank new report. All they have to do is just drag and drop.
Gotcha.
And you know, things work for them.
I see.
You can put business logic in here. There's a lot more stuff we can show in here. You can rename columns. You can put descriptions in there. You can put actual calculations in there.
Sure.
And your entire security model. So the more you build out the model, the more advanced stuff you can do. And you can actually do that right now on the web. Just point this to your data set and get started.
Perfect. Otherwise, we would be exposed here as a Power BI user to all the tables, all the columns, and I'd have to make sense of it without the model.
It's basically like handing someone a raw database and saying, have
good
at
luck.
It.
Good luck, yeah, understood.
You know, you walk into meetings, people are reporting revenue numbers, they're supposed to be reporting the same number, but they arrive to that number differently.
Wow, yeah.
So you can encapsulate how to get to revenue in the model, so everyone just grabs revenue, drags it on, they all have the same logic, they all have the same numbers. It's your single version of the truth, basically.
Gotcha, so is this already released? Is this ready for
this
everyone
is released.
To start using?
This is up there on, if you go to the Azure portal, create an Azure Analysis Services server. You'll see the option there that I clicked on to bring this up and get going. This, the Portal, the web designer itself is in preview. The okay. Azure Analysis Services is a GA product now.
Perfect. Fantastic. So thank you so much. Sure. We're learning all about building your first model in the Azure Analysis Services here on Azure Friday.